Nehemiah's prayer. Well, we've read about Ezra and how he went back with some of the exiles who returned, and how the king gave him gold and silver and all that he needed so that they could get on and start rebuilding the temple. And that's what they did. But Jerusalem itself, the city, was in quite a mess because the Babylonians had been there and burnt it and destroyed it. And so then you come to Nehemiah. He says that it happened as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came back from Judah, and I asked him about the Jews who were left of the captivity and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant who are left of the captivity there in the province are in great difficulty, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, the gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept, I cried. So we shouldn't think, oh, everything's all right for me, like he was in Babylon working for the king, or in Persia working for the king, everything was good for him. But when he heard about his poorer brothers back in Judah and Jerusalem, that they were in such a bad state, he cried. Now, that's what we should feel for others, not just think, well, everything's fine for me, I've got enough food, I've got a nice enough place to live in, everything's good for me. We should be really concerned about others, even to the point of crying. We need to ask ourselves the question, have I ever cried because of someone else's difficulty or their poverty? Well, after he cried and wept, as he says, I fasted. He went without food and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beg you, Yahweh, God of heaven, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and his grace with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear now be open and your eyes open, that you may listen to the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night for the children of Israel, your servants. So he prayed day and night. He didn't just pray once. He kept on praying, not just in the evenings before we go to bed, but throughout the day and even throughout the night. And he doesn't just quickly say, oh, God, please be with those people. Amen. He approaches God very respectfully. He says, please open your eyes and your ears to what I'm saying. And then he says, let me confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my father's family have sinned. We have dealt very badly against you and have not kept your commandments, which you commanded your servant Moses. So he begins his prayer. He's going to ask God for something, but he begins by saying, yes, we've sinned. And even though he himself may not have sinned, he says, we have sinned, because he felt so much at one with the rest of the people of God. And that's again how we should feel, that although we might see weaknesses in other believers, we are still one with them. We're in the same body. In our case, in the body of Christ, or as they were in the community of Israel, in the people of Israel. And he felt awful about that. He didn't think selfishly, well, I haven't sinned, but they have, it's their problem. He felt really bad about what they had done, and he says that we have done this. So he confesses, he admits his sin. And that's a good way to start any prayer. We haven't got any right to demand that God does this or that for us. We need to recognize that we have sinned and we've sinned badly, and that everything is by God's grace and that we don't deserve anything. So he goes on, remember, I beg you, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you sin, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, even if you were scattered into the uttermost part of the heavens, yet will I gather them from there, and will bring them back to the place that I have chosen to cause my name to dwell there. Now, these are your servants and your people, who you have saved by your great power. So, I beg you, let your ear be open now to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And please, bless your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the eyes of this man. Now, I was cupbearer to the king, You think of someone else who was a cupbearer to a king? Someone who carried the cup and gave the cup to the king and tasted it first in case there was any poison in it.
Nehemiah?
Yeah, this is Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer. But there was another cupbearer earlier on in the Bible. At the time of... Who was Joseph in prison with?
Oh, yeah. He was in prison. He was in prison with the baker and the cupbearer.
That's right. The baker and the butler or the cupbearer. So, he knew that he stood next to the king. Nehemiah knew he stood next to the king, and he was going to ask him, when he was standing next to him, if he could help to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So he prays this prayer and says, please give me mercy in the eyes of this man. Now those kings were so cranky, if they got upset about something, they could say, cut his head off. Oh, I don't like the way you looked at me, or didn't like the way you spoke to me. Just cut his head off, or throw him in prison. That's how they were. So, this is a very brave thing he was going to do. And so, it happened in the month Nisan, when wine was before King Artaxerxes, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. I'd never been sad before in his presence. The King Artaxerxes said to me, why is your face sad, since you're not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow. Then I was very frightened, because the king could say, well, everyone's supposed to be happy around me, and there you are thinking about yourself and not about me. I think I'll just have your head cut off. And that's why Nehemiah says, I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever, but why shouldn't my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies waste and its gates have been consumed with fire? Then the king said to me, for what then are you making request? What do you want? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, please send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. So he says, I prayed to the God of heaven. So there's Nehemiah standing by King Artaxerxes with the cup of wine in his hand, and Artaxerxes says, why are you looking sad? You're not supposed to look sad. What do you want? And he says, I prayed to the God of heaven. Now that prayer would have been said with his eyes open and just in a moment. God, please help me. God, please put the right words in my mouth. Now we can pray like that and we should pray like that, but we shouldn't think that that's all that prayer is. There's different types of prayer. You can pray like that, but we mustn't forget that in the mornings and in the evenings, we should kneel down and pray to our God and work out what we're going to say in advance. So he prayed before this that God would give him mercy in the eyes of the king, and he'd very carefully come into God's presence. He'd said, may your eyes and ears be open to my humble prayer. We have sinned, we've done badly, but please just give me mercy in the eyes of this king and help me to do something for my people. So, now the time had come for the prayer to be answered. Maybe he wasn't intending to actually say this at that time, but the king noticed he was sad. And so the king asked him what the problem was. So then he says to the king, very nervously, I suppose, but in faith that God would help him, please send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that's Jerusalem, that I may build it. The king said to me, the queen was also sitting next to him, and we wonder if that queen was Esther, or whoever it was someone who was on the Jews' side.
Maybe it was, before Esther?
Yep, it could have been. The king said to me, the queen sitting next to him, how long shall your journey be, and when are you going to come back? So I set him a time, and it pleased the king to send me. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river Euphrates, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted my requests because of the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river Euphrates, and I gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me captains of the army and horsemen. You remember when Ezra went back from Babylon to Jerusalem, he fasted for 3 days by the river Ahava, and he was embarrassed to ask soldiers and guards to go with him because he trusted in his God, and he had loads of gold and silver with him that robbers could have stolen. Well, Nehemiah accepted the army and horsemen that were sent to look after him on the journey. So it just shows that different people have got different levels of faith. It seems in this matter that Ezra had more faith than Nehemiah. Doesn't mean Nehemiah didn't believe. And so that's how it is, like Jesus said in the parable, that we're all different types of ground, and some ground brings forth more than others, 20-fold or whatever, 30-fold. Just like the talents are given to people, the pounds, and some people trade better than others and make more of God's truth than others. But we will all be in the kingdom. So he came to the governors beyond the river with these letters from the king. When Sanballat and Tobiah the Ammonite heard of it, they were really upset because a man had come to seek the good of the children of Israel. Now Sanballat and Tobiah were the Jews' enemies. Well, I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. I got up in the night with a few men with me, didn't tell anyone what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me except the animal I rode on. I went out by night by the valley gate, even toward the Jackal's Well and to the Dung Gate, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates that were burnt with fire.
What were the Dung Gates?
And that's where they used to throw out all the smelly garbage and rubbish out of the city. Then I went on to the spring gate into the king's pool, but there was no place for the animal that was under me to pass. I went up in the night by the brook, the little river, and I viewed the wall, and I turned back and I entered by the valley gate and so returned. The rulers didn't know where I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told the Jews, nor the priests, nor the rulers. Then I said to them, "You see the evil situation that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we won't be disgraced." I told them of the hand of my God, which was for good upon me, and of the king's words that he'd spoken to me. They said, "Let us arise up and build." So one person being enthusiastic to serve God, that inspires other people to be enthusiastic. He says, "Come on, let's rise up and build." And they said, "Yes, let us arise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arab, heard it, they laughed at us, and they said, "What is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king?" And I said to them, "The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore we, as his servants, will arise and build. But you have no right to be here in Jerusalem." So whenever you want to do God's work, you will find people like Sanballat and Tobiah who try to laugh at you, despise you, and try to stop you. But as long as you realize that God is really with you and God has put this in your heart, then it will work out against all difficulties. And he says that God had put this into his heart. So God does put ideas into our minds. What we desperately want is his Holy Spirit. We want to think like him, to have a mind like him and like Jesus, to have the Spirit of Jesus. And he is willing to change our minds and our hearts. If we want to be kinder, more sensitive, more gentle. But, well, I don't know, we don't know how to do it. You can't press buttons on your head and make yourself nicer or gentler or not so aggressive. You can't do that. What you can do is to open yourself up to God and really, really pray that he will change you. And he's willing to. And that's one reason I encourage people to get baptized, because we are given the gift of the Spirit when we're baptized. And God is prepared then to work in our hearts.